Our scripture reading for this morning will come from the Gospel of John. We'll be reading from the fifth chapter of John's Gospel, verses 1 through 9, and it is found on page 926 of your Pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, in Hebrew called Bethesda, which has five porticos. In these lie a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew that he had been lying there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is troubled, and while I am going, another steps down before me." And Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your pallet and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his pallet and walked. This is the word of the Lord. Eternal God, we ask that your loving presence be with us here today. We ask, Lord, that you bless all that is done here today. We give you thanks for the message that we have heard through the ministry of singing, and we pray, Lord, that you will bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you want to be healed? That's what Jesus asked the man at the pool of Bethesda in our text this morning. The pool of Bethesda was a large pool in Jerusalem, not far from the temple. And it was a place where people would go to be healed, especially those who were most in need of healing, the lame and the blind and the paralyzed. The name Bethesda actually means house of mercy, but I'm not quite sure how much mercy was actually dispensed there. According to legend, an angel would periodically disturb the waters, affording an opportunity to be healed. After the angel stirred up the waters, if you went into the waters, you had an opportunity to be healed. But only the first one in the pool would actually be healed. So not only did you have to wait for a long period of time for the angel who periodically came and troubled the waters, but only those who entered the pool first had an opportunity to be healed. You can imagine what kind of healthcare system that was. If you were strong enough and well enough, you might be able to make it to the pool first and have an opportunity to be healed. But if you were one of the weakest and the sickest, your chance of making it to the pool first was zero. So we're not surprised to learn that there was a man who was apparently paralyzed, a man who had been coming to the pool for a long time. The text tells us that he had been ill for 38 years, and he's been coming to the pool hoping to be healed. Day after day and year after year, he would go to the pool and wait along with all the other invalids, watching and waiting for the water to be stirred up. And we can just imagine any ripple that came across the water, how it created a stampede of people crawling over one another and running over one another and elbowing one another, trying to get into the water, hoping to be healed. But this man who was paralyzed always loses out. He's not fit for the competition. His only hope is that someone might take pity on him and help him to the pool. But for 38 years, he has had no such luck. For 38 years, he comes to the pool, but is never able to make it to the waters. A totally hopeless situation. Maybe we know what it means to be hopeless. Maybe we know what it means to be helpless. Maybe we know what it means to need help and to see so close our possible healing and yet not able to get there. But this man has been waiting for 38 years. I'm not sure that I could wait that long. I suspect that many of us would probably give up after a year. I suspect many of us would probably give up after a few months, but this man keeps going day after day and year after year for 38 years. But this morning, we are told that Jesus is in town. Jesus has come into Jerusalem for one of the festivals. Jesus, who is the Savior, Jesus, who is the healer, Jesus, who is God with us, it's this Jesus who is in town. And whenever Jesus is in town, there's always hope for even the most hopeless of situations. Whenever Jesus is in town, there is always the possibility of new beginnings and new life. Whenever Jesus is in town, the kingdom of God is always at hand. And so Jesus is in town, and he comes by the house of mercy, where the lame and the blind and the paralyzed congregate. That's where you usually find Jesus. You usually find him among the poor and the sick, among the helpless and the homeless and the desperate, among people who are in need of God's mercy. That's where you usually find Jesus. I'm not saying you won't find him anywhere else. I'm not saying you won't find him among the comfortable and the well-established and the rich. I'm sure you'll find him there too. I'm just saying that if you're looking for Jesus, if you really are looking for him and you want to find him, the chances are that you'll bump into him in a house of mercy, in a homeless shelter, or a hospital, or a prison, or a nursing home. Jesus always seems to go by these places whenever he's in town, and he's in town this morning. And Jesus goes by this pool, and out of all the people at the pool, we are told that Jesus sees this paralyzed man. Maybe Jesus sees him because his situation is the most desperate. Indeed, we are told that Jesus sees him and knows his situation and speaks to him. Seeing and speaking and knowing. Very important. Oftentimes there are people in our society, desperate people, homeless people, where we walk right by them and don't see them and don't engage them. But Jesus sees this man and he knows what this man is going through, and we are told that Jesus takes the time to engage this man and talk with this man. In other words, Jesus initiates the beginning of a relationship with this man. Which is remarkable because in first century Judea, illness was often associated with sin. And sin was always about a breach of relationship. A breach in our relationship with God and a breach in our relationships with one another. But Jesus sees this man and knows this man and speaks to this man, and Jesus seeks to restore this man to right relationship with God and with others. And this is the way God is with all of us. God sees us, not because we are important, but God sees us because we are nobodies. Spiritually, we are all invalids and beggars. God knows us. God knows how hopeless and desperate our situations are. God knows what we are going through. God knows what we are experiencing. God knows our trials and our tribulations. He knows our fears and our anxieties. God knows everything about us. And of course, God speaks to us. God speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through each other. He speaks to us through the church. God wants to restore all of us to right relationship with God and right relationships with one another. God sees us and knows us and engages us. So Jesus doesn't walk by and pretend that he doesn't see this man, but Jesus sees him and speaks with him. And I imagine the man was probably thinking to himself, finally, after 38 years, here is someone who's going to help me. Here is someone who's going to pick me up and carry me to the edge of the waters so that I might be healed. That's the way we are sometimes. We believe that we have things all figured out. We believe that we have Jesus all figured out. We know how Jesus ought to act. But instead, Jesus asked this man a question. Jesus asked him, "Do you want to be healed?" The Greek word means to be regenerated or made new. And that's what Jesus is asking this man. Do you want to be regenerated? Do you want to be made new? Do you want a new way of life? Do you want to be healed? Question sounds a little crazy, and I admit that sometimes Jesus asks the craziest things. Of course this man wants to be healed. Why would he be at the pool every day if he doesn't want to be healed? Why would Jesus ask that question? Do you want to be healed? But remember, this man has been doing the same things all of his life. Every day he's been going to the pool. Every day he's been laying on his pallet waiting for the waters to be stirred up. It's become a way of life for him. It's all he knows how to do. Maybe the prospect of being healed is a little frightening for him. Maybe he's grown to fear the cure more than the illness because it means he's going to have to start being responsible for his life. I've learned that some people don't want to be healed. I've learned that some people have gotten used to the things the way that they are. Some people want to remain helpless. They've gotten used to their ways of life and they want to stay in their comfort zones. To change things is too much work, too much effort. And so Jesus asked this man, "Do you want to be healed? Is that what you really want? Do you really, really want to be healed?" And the man responds to Jesus' question, not by saying, "Yes, I want to be healed," but instead he starts recounting his woes. "I'm paralyzed. No one will help me. Everyone jumps in front of me. I'm disadvantaged. I can't move, I'm helpless, I'm a victim." Sometimes it's easier to be a victim than to want to be healed. Sometimes it's easier to start recounting all the things that are wrong. It's easy for us to stay on our pallet and resign ourselves to hopelessness. "I can't make it, Jesus, because I was abused as a child. I can't make it, Jesus, because I'm from a broken home. I can't make it, Jesus, because I'm the wrong color or the wrong gender or I'm from the wrong class or the wrong neighborhood or because I don't have the right kind of education. Can't you see how disadvantaged I am, Jesus? I can't make it. I can't be healed." It's interesting that Jesus does not dismiss this man's problems. Jesus knows that the challenges and the obstacles that this man faces are real. The difference is that Jesus has come near. Jesus sees him and knows him and engages him. Jesus the Savior, Jesus the Healer, Jesus who is God with us, has come near to this man, bringing with him the possibility of new life. And so the question is, will this man be responsible? Will he respond by claiming the new life and living into the new life? Or will he just accept life as he has known it? Do you want to be healed? That's the question. Our text this morning invites all of us to look deep down inside of our hearts and to ask ourselves what it is that we really, really want. Do we want to be healed? Do we want to be made whole? Do we want God's offer of new life? Is that what we want? I suspect that most of us have this longing deep down inside of us. We have this longing deep down inside of our hearts that can only be satisfied by the love of God. I suspect that most of us have this longing to be connected to God and be connected to one another in right relationships. We want to be made new. We want a better world for ourselves and our children. We want our families to be healed and our communities to be healed. We want a world of peace and harmony and justice and love. We want those things. All of us want those things. But we also know the kind of world that we live in. It can often be a cold, brutal world, a dog-eat-dog world. It's a world where we often feel hopeless to be able to affect any kind of change. It's a world where we're often paralyzed by our fears and anxieties and insecurities. It's a world where we often become settled in our old routines and our old habits. But it's in the midst of this kind of world that Jesus comes near to us. It is in the midst of this kind of world that Jesus sees us and knows us and engages us. And it's in the midst of this kind of world that he asks us to examine what it is we really want. Do you want to be healed? The good news is that God in Christ has already defeated the forces and powers of death. God in Christ has already opened up the future for all of us. We don't have to lay beside a crowded pool waiting for a hope that may never come and a hope that we may never be able to take advantage of. Christ has already made healing and newness available for all of us. God in Christ does not come to impose God's self on us. He will not force healing upon us. He wants to give us life. He wants us to choose life, real life, abundant life. He wants us to choose the newness and the healing that he brings. But such healing and newness requires courage and faith. The courage to break out of our old routines and our old habits and to begin to live in to the newness that the Lord brings. Jesus isn't interested in our excuses. What he's interested in is our response. He wants to know if we're going to be responsible. He wants to know if we're going to respond positively to his mercy and his grace. In the face of our excuses, Jesus says, get off of your pallet. Get off of your pallet and stand up. Get off of your pallets and begin to stand up for the kingdom of God. Get off of your pallets of complacency. Get off of your pallets of fear. Get off of your pallets of doubt. Get off of your pallets and stand up. Stand up for the kingdom. Stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand up for the way of love. Don't just stand up for it, but begin to walk it. Begin to live it. Get off of your pallets and stop being hopeless. Get off of your pallets and stop making excuses. Get off of your pallets because the Lord Jesus Christ has already defeated the forces and powers of everything that has enslaved us and has kept us down and has oppressed us. Jesus says, get off of your pallets and stand up. Stand up. Because the future is now wide open. Stand up. Because Christ is with us. Stand up. Because the world belongs to God. This world belongs to God, and God has not abandoned this world. God is still active in this world. So there is no hopeless situation. There is no situation that is hopeless. There is no situation that we should look at and say, that's a hopeless situation. Poverty is not a hopeless situation. War is not a hopeless situation. What people are experiencing in their lives is not a hopeless situation. But Christ has already defeated all that would tempt us to be hopeless. And he is calling us to stand up, to get off our pallets and stand up. Standing up and walking with Jesus, of course, isn't easy. It requires us to be involved in helping to alleviate the pain and suffering of our world. It means being subjected to the vulnerabilities of love, including love of enemies. It means, in many instances, picking up our cross. But that's the only way for us to be healed. The paralyzed man listens to Jesus. He takes a deep breath and he musters up all of the courage and stands up with his pallet in his hands, and he is healed. His journey will not be an easy one, and neither will ours be. But God doesn't promise us a life free from struggle and trial. He only promises that he will be with us, even until the end of the age. He just has one question for us. Do you want to be healed? Do you really, really want to be healed? I hope that we ponder that this week as we think about what it means to be the people of God. Let us pray. Eternal God, you have come into our midst, bringing us healing and life. We are reminded that you have called us to stand up and follow you, and yet we know how terribly difficult that is for us to do. We are often anxious about our lives. We are often locked in to the routines and habits of our lives and the routines and habits of our world. We ask, Lord, that you give us the courage to stand up, to take up our mat, to take up our pallet, to walk in your ways, the ways of truth, the ways of love, the way of peace. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.